2016 is the year of Georgia music. Every month, we'll bring you conversations with and about the musicians of the Peach State. Today, a man who has influenced countless songwriters and singers, William Bell. Singer, songwriter himself, producer, and he's been based out of Atlanta since 1970. William Bell will release his first major recording in 40 years next month. I spoke with Bell in February. Here's an excerpt of that conversation. So tell me what it's like when a number of your songs have been covered by other artists, and some of them have sounded nothing like the original. And you probably know the one I'm thinking of, which is Billy Idol did a version of Forgot to Be Your Lover. So what is that like? Do you think that in a cover like that, because there's been a number, even Otis Redding covered one of your songs. There's been a whole bunch of people who've covered your songs that you did originally. What is that like when they make substantial changes to your song? Is that bothersome?
And no, it isn't, you know, because I like for an artist to, individuality is what makes an artist, and I like for an artist to be an artist. Sometimes it takes me a minute to really process how they heard a certain, like Billy Idol, he took a ballad, a sensitive ballad, and made it the up-tempo thing, but he actually identified with the lyrical content and everything, and he made it his, which was great. And of course, I can't argue with the success of it. So, but I love for an artist to take something that I've created or written and make it theirs. You know,
did you and he have a conversation about it ever?
No,
either
not
before
ever.
He recorded it or after? Never.
Never. I got a copy of it from the label before they released it. And when I first got the copy, they were asking what I thought about it. And I said, well, I'm going to hold my opinion for a minute and let me live with it for a while. So after 3 or 4 days, I kind of got it and I called them back. I said, great.
But it took you 3 or 4 days.
Yeah,
so that
it
must
did.
Have been shocking.
It really did, because I'm going, okay, how did he hear this? That lyrical part of this. And it took me a minute to get it. Yeah.
So that brings us to the issue of sampling, which your music has also been sampled a lot. And I wanted to play you a comment from Snoop Dogg. You were part of a documentary called Take Me to the River, where they paired younger artists with some of the veterans. And you actually were paired with Snoop Dogg. And he said some interesting things. Here's one of them.
My grandparents and my mother and them, they inspired me by playing this good music when I was young, you know, to turn me on to it, to hit me to it, and to make me love it. It's a respect thing. Hip-hop is the dominant music right now. So I say that to say this. When those brothers take the time out of their careers to say, we want to dedicate this song and this title to somebody who inspired us, who wasn't a hip-hop artist, respect that.
I wonder if that's how you feel about sampling. Do you hear it as respect?
I do. I do. Anytime an artist can find something that I've created that they can relate to and bring it up to fit their generation, I do have respect for that. There are a lot of writers and performers that don't like that, but it doesn't bother me, I guess, because I'm also into the creative process. And when an artist comes forth with a totally original take on something that I've done, I like it. I mean, it's cool.
Okay. Not every artist is great at writing music for other people. And those who write well for other people aren't always so great at writing for themselves. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
Many people write songs for themselves that they can sing, but they don't translate to any other. You're nodding your head, so you know exactly what I mean.
Yes.
How do you, is that a skill that you have to learn, or is that something you're just either born with or not?
Well, it's a process to where if you're going to write a song, I write about life, and hopefully that people identify with it. My lyrical content is all about life. I try to gear my melodies so that they're easily recognizable. But if I write specifically for another artist, I try to get inside that artist's persona. You know.
How do you do that, though?
Well, you talk with the artist, or you listen to his past history of performances or what he's about, or try to read up on him or her and how their life has evolved, and you write about that. You know, like in writing for, say, Albert King. I knew that he didn't read or write, so inclusive in that song, I wrote a lyric about I can't read, didn't learn how to write. And these were things that he could identify with as an artist.
Do you find that that gets a more emotional performance out of them? What difference does it make when you're putting things in there that they can instantly relate to?
Yeah, that does touch them emotionally, because if there's something that you can relate to, you can easily, readily get into it. As there are a lot of people that hear a song and say, oh, God, I could have written that if I was a writer, because that's my life. And so they readily identify with it. So emotionally, they are more drawn to it if it's something that they can identify with lyrically.
So let's talk about you as a singer instead of a songwriter for just a moment. And let's hear a little bit to your performance in the White House. President Obama and Michelle Obama sitting right in front of you. This is 2014. And let's hear a little bit. You were singing probably one of your best known songs, You Don't Miss Your Water.
In the beginning, and I was too blind, and I couldn't see.
And Booker T on the keyboards.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than
no.
that. And, of course, it was like old home week with Booker and Sam and Eddie and all the gang there from Stax and some of the musicians. It was just great, and you're performing for the president. I mean,
how do you not
choke
up?
Where do you go from the right? Well, you know, I'm comfortable on stage, and I try, and as long as I know that the musicians are comfortable and vocally I'm good to go, you know, I'm comfortable on stage. So I didn't really get nervous or anything with that. Probably a little apprehensive, because when you're going into a situation where you said, okay, this is the top dignitary of the world.
And the first African-American president in
the
United States.
Yeah, so it's historical and everything else.
It was a moment.
Yeah, so all of that, but you process it, and when you get on stage, you put that behind you and go for the performance.
You know, I wonder what you think about some of the current methods we have of identifying talent. And by that, I mean, your story to a certain extent is kind of iconic, right? I mean, you came up singing in the church and then kind of hard scrabbled your way, that you have a long history of really hard work and just sort of hustling to get where you were. And so when you watch like American Idol or some of the competition choice of shows, The Voice or the X Factor, is there a ideal way to identify talent? Is it better to like have someone discover it, or is it better when somebody has to really work for it?
Well, I think real talent, authentic talent, I think is a gift. You can hone it, hone the craft, you can learn more about the process of it, but the actual talent is really a gift that to be cherished. I like The Voice the way they do. They turn around and...
Because they're blind auditions.
Yeah, it's a blind audition. You're totally listening for the interpretation, the vocal range, and all of that. You don't care about the look right at this moment. You're listening for that signature sound, that voice, and how they interpret a lyric and how heartfelt it is. And so that's, to me, very important.
So weigh in a little bit on some of the other discussions we're having, especially around soul music, because there's a lot of arguments over appropriation of soul music and when it's appropriate for an artist to sing it and when it isn't. Did you ever have those kind of thoughts about soul music that comes out of your personal experience, or soul music that is part of your background as a young African-American, especially when you're writing some of these things, and whether or not it's then appropriate for a white artist or someone else to come in and then sing that piece of music?
I don't have any apprehensions about it. I think if they can relate to it, great. Like I said, I write about life. I write about personal experiences, some things from observation, And even if I just take a hypothetical situation and write about it, I try to write it in such a way that I think the ordinary lay person can identify with it, you know. So when a person can take a piece of music or something and do that, I don't have any problems with that. You know, it's like I'm good with it.
So I wonder, I mean, you're talking about world music and how widespread music is, and it is. It's readily available. I can hear something from, you know, Bangladesh if I feel like it. Has that removed some of our characteristics of different regions? Do we still, for example, have a southern sound anymore?
We do. We definitely, it's funny because you asked that. I heard Uptown Funk as
performed by Bruno Mars.
Yeah, but Boo Mitchell was a part of that. I didn't know at the time, but he's in the film with me. So we were riding from Austin to Dallas in a car, and the record came on. Instantly, I knew that was a Memphis record. And I'm going, I didn't know who it was because the first time I had heard it, I'm going, hold on, guys, who is that? And he said, oh, that's the record that we cut on Bruno Mars. That's Uptown Funk.
What did you hear?
There's a certain sound, a drum sound that High Records has that it's undeniable. You know, it's like all that Al Green stuff and all. That sound I told Boo, you should just lock that into a gold cage and keep it there. And he does. He just locks up. He never takes the drums down.
Or moves them,
anything. He'll lock the drum booth after everybody does a session, you know. But there's just something about the sound and the feel of the musicians when they're cutting in certain regions that you just recognize it.
So do we have an Atlanta? I mean, you've been in Atlanta for decades now. Is there an Atlanta sound then?
You know what? I don't hear an Atlanta sound, and the reason being you have great studios, great musicians here, but there's no one entity like a group of musicians that cut enough together to establish that particular feel. So you always incorporate a lot of different musicians and talent when you go into a recording session. They get hit records out of it, but they don't establish that signature sound like out of New Orleans
or Detroit
or Detroit or Muscle Shoals or something.
But one of the things that makes, I mean, I know Detroit quite well. One of the things that makes their sound so recognizable is because they have the same group of like 100 musicians who play on everything.
Right.
Punk,
yeah.
Techno, everything. And you'll walk in and you'll see the same guy that played on the country. Country song.
Absolutely.
So maybe we don't have that here in Atlanta.
We do not have that here in Atlanta. It's not, musicians are more individualized here. Great musicians, but individualized. Whereas you have what I call cliques of musicians, sets of musicians that play on everything over at, like Stax Records or over at High Records or down in New Orleans, you know, and so you establish that sound. They play enough together to where they just read each other's minds. And you had that for a long time out in California back in the 60s, early 60s, with a lot of those musicians and played on everything.
Yes. It's true. Playing on Soul Records, playing on the Beach Boys, same cats.
Absolutely.
All right, so before we go, what's on your playlist? What are you listening to?
Everything from classical to pop to country, because that's me. I've listened to everything my whole life. When I was a kid, I was listening to the Four Freshmen and Sam Cooke and you name it. I mean,
we are aging a whole generation of incredible musicians. When I think about those like yourself who are getting older and Bill Withers and this whole generation of people who just defined a moment in music, is there anybody rising up to sort of take that mantle on, or are we just set that sort of era in soul music aside?
I think there are some good artists out there. They haven't reached their peak yet, so you don't. They're not household names. Yeah, but John Legend, I think, will be around for a minute. I think a long time, because he has a signature sound and he's a great writer and everything. I think he's going to be here for a while. Ed Sheeran is going to be here, of course. Even with her sound is more popish, but Taylor Swift will be around for a while because she's a good writer. And there are a lot of other artists. I'm missing a lot of them, but there are some up and coming new talent that really has it going on, got it going on, and they're going to be here for a while. It's just it takes time to establish their niche within the industry
and maybe find their voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been speaking with singer-songwriter William Bell. It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.